Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Who is Chicago's founding mother? Sure, Chicago was founded by a Haitian man, Jean-Baptiste Point du Sable, but many forget about his wife, a Potawatomi woman named Kitty Hawa du Sable. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Together, Kitty Hawa and Jean-Baptiste ran a thriving trading post located at the north bank of the Chicago River in what's now downtown. But so little is known about her, like many great women of our past who are forgotten as their husbands fill the spotlight. To honor her and learn more about her life, we sat down with Elise Passion, a poet, writing professor at School of the Art Institute Chicago, and member of the Osage Nation. She's written 6 poetry collections. Her most recent, called Blood Wolf Moon, is out next month, and it includes a poem about Kitty Hawa. Elise started by telling us more about Kitty Hawa's life.
She was Potawatomi, as you said, and she was really the reason I think that du Sable and Kitty Hawa had so much success here in Chicago creating their trading post. What I discovered when I started researching her life for my poem was that there was very little about her. Mm-hmm. They had 2 children. They were married for 30 years. And her English name was Catherine. So it's just interesting. I had very little to work with.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe we'll talk about how this poem came to be.
Yeah. I mean, you researched her life as you prepared to write this poem.
Yes.
So tell us more.
So let me tell you a little bit about the circumstances of writing the poem. So in November 2018, Chris Pappen, a Kiowa Osage Sioux artist, invited me to write a poem about Kitty Hawa as part of the Floating Museum Project celebrating the founders of Chicago. So artists created new works inspired by our founders, Kitty Hawa and du Sable, which were displayed in a car on the CTA Green Line from July to September 2019.
Okay.
So Chris said, would you write this poem about Kitty Hawa? I started looking into her life. I found very little about her. Mm-hmm. But what I did find was a journal written by Hugh Heward, who was a fur trader and clerk. He wrote this in 1790, and it mentions spending the night at their residence on Monday, May 10th, 1790. And what really spurred me in the poem was a footnote about this visit, and it describes their property in 1800. So they sold their property in the spring of 1800 for roughly $1,200. They ended up moving to Missouri. Mm-hmm. The original bill of sale discloses that du Sable was a man of substance with an extensive establishment. And I'll just read you a little bit about this bill of sale. It says the realty included a house, a horse mill, bakehouse, dairy house, poultry house, smokehouse, wow, a stable, and a barn. The livestock consisted of 30 head of cattle, 2 mules, 44 hens, 38 hogs, and 2 calves. Household goods included a French walnut cabinet with 4 glass doors, a bureau, 4 tables, a couch, 2 mirrors,
wow, such
11
detail.
Copper kettles.
So you said challenge accepted. There's not much information out there, but I will find it. And boy, did you start to find some detail there.
Just in a footnote, though.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So why do you think it is, Elise, that we know so much about Jean-Baptiste and not Kitty Hawa?
Well, it's very strange, and I will answer that in a second. But just to conclude about this footnote,
The footnote writes, he had an Indian wife and at least two children. So she was barely recognized. And, you know, as we've seen, as we can, you know, the only way we've heard about her mm-hmm. is through the male perspective. And this was the
His
only
wife.
Mention
yeah.
that we found in history
yeah.
is of Kitty Hawa. So I think that there's more historical facts about Dusab. You know, people can say when he was born, when he died. Everything is very rough about her. We don't have a birth date. We don't have a death date. We know that they were married for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I think that it's, again, a question of a woman becoming invisible and the man coming to the forefront of American history. But we're happy that he did.
Yes, happy that he did. But do we think, though, that it was sort of the opposite, where she was sort of behind the scenes as this really powerful driving force
yes.
behind the man that we've all heard about.
Exactly. Because of her being Potawatomi, she introduced him to her relatives. He was able to have an amazing success, mm-hmm. you know, as a trader, and she translated for him. So all those things contributed yeah. to the great success of Dusab.
Why don't you take a moment to read your wonderful poem?
Yes, I'd love to do that. Thank you so much. So I will read you now the poem. And it is called, I Wanted to Give Kitty Hawa Her Own Voice Because She Had Been Silenced. And I wanted to show the reader that she could actually speak and yeah. she wasn't erased from history. So I tried to inhabit her psyche. From my earliest draft, I felt Kitty Hawa's own need to be seen. And I first tried to write it from the perspective of writing a journal, and then I decided to write a persona poem or a dramatic monologue where I imagine Kitty Hawa speaking, and I tried to inhabit her psyche and try to let people hear her voice.
Nice.
Kitty Hawa speaks. My relatives guide fur traders between swamp and bog, down age-old trails, under pine trees and black oaks, navigating the tributaries, the sweeps and turns. My husband and I followed the river to its mouth, this spot where the sun and the moon climb above the rim of lake. I feed the traders hot loaves from our bakery, milk crocks from our dairy. Silent as fog rising from the marsh, I observe. The traders barter canoes for our white wood dugouts. My husband broods at the prow of the long table, candles sputtering, reflected between two mirrors. Clearing the wooden plates, I question the way they shake hands. I see blazing greed, our earth parched, my descendants gone.
What does it mean to you to be able to share her story? In her voice.
It means the world to me. I feel like I can channel this spirit and this presence of Kitty Hawa that's been lost to history. And I'm yeah. just so grateful to have been given the chance to write this poem.
Your mother, Maria Tallchief, was the first Native American prima ballerina. Do you see Kitty Hawa as maybe a similar kind of trailblazer?
I absolutely see her.
Tell me more about the connection between the two.
Well, my mother was born on the Osage Reservation, and she's actually, if I may say so, is considered America's first prima ballerina. So she joined the New York City Ballet. She was married to Balanchine when they both formed the New York City Ballet. And she set such a high standard for American ballet in this country. And I'm just so incredibly proud of my mother. She was featured on The Quarter 2 years ago,
U.S.
Quarter, and she was just memorialized as a Barbie, a signature Barbie recently.
Incredible.
But I feel that, yeah, Kitty Hawa in the same way, you know, maybe we also need to have a Kitty Hawa Barbie and a Kitty Hawa Quarter.
We need to recognize
people
her.
People need to know yes. more about her.
Not just here in Chicago, right?
Yes, exactly. I think she needs to be known. I mean, I haven't researched this, but I don't know how many founding Native American women there are across America, but she certainly is the founder of this city, our Chicago.
It's wonderful. Elise Passion is a poet, writing professor at the School of the Art Institute, Chicago, also a member of the Osage Nation. Her latest poetry collection, Blood Wolf Moon, is out April 8th.
Yes, it is.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Ari Mejia. It was edited by Daniel Tucker and mixed by Micah Yason. We're honoring Chicago women throughout history during all of Women's History Month. You can check out our previous conversation about Evelyn Jackie Bross, who helped change a cross-dressing ordinance in Chicago. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.